Marvin Bernard with us. Let's chat a little bit more. It's always nice to catch up with you at the ballpark. Doing some radio now.
Yep. Tito couldn't travel anymore, first of all, because of, he didn't want to travel anymore. He's got knee issues and stuff like that. So I started doing the road games down in L.A. and down in San Diego. And then, suddenly I get a phone call a couple of days ago and said that Tito was, was in the hospital, so they needed someone to fill in. And so here I am, just enjoying this. And, especially, against the Dodgers, I've never been up in the booth at AT&T Park against the Dodgers. I've been at, down in L.A., but never here before. So it's a different little twist to it.
They always say the game looks a little easier from the booth.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't missed a pitch up there. Yeah. I mean, every ball that's hitting the outfield, I'm catching it. And every slider that they throw, I'm hitting it off the wall. Every play I put on, it's successful. So it's real interesting when you're up there.
A lot easier. Marvin Bernard with us. Tell us about your background. In the world today, and the world is so small, and you run into people from Nicaragua, from different places. How did you get into baseball? What was it like for you?
As a child, I just remember being at the ballpark always. It was one of those things in the little town that I grew up in. All the dads would come off work, and they would go to the ballpark instead of coming home because they had practice. There was no lights, so they had to make sure to take advantage of the daylight that was there. So all the kids would literally go to the ballpark and go hang out with dads. I had no other choice, it seems. If I was going to go hang out with my friends, or, they were doing baseball stuff, so you start doing baseball stuff. Then later on, I find out that my mom played softball, my dad played baseball. Down in Nicaragua, my great-grandfather's in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Did not know that until later on. And also, my grandfather was considered to be one of the better catchers on the Atlantic side. So without me realizing that, there was, a little bit of a water pooled gene going down that road. All of a sudden, I get to the big leagues. And, of course, when you get a little bit older, I don't know about most people, but the relationship with my dad kind of changes a little bit, because now it's almost like he sees me that we're in the same even playing field when it comes to talking baseball. So he starts, talking about the game. And when you hear, for me anyways, listen to my dad talk about the game, it always amazes me, because I didn't realize he knew the game that much. He talked more about the in-depth part of the game, the situational stuff, the interchange that goes on between managers trying to figure out who's going to hit when, why, or what, with who. So that's the kind of stuff that I started learning from my dad later on, and it was real, real interesting, because it made it for a more fun conversation.
Great. I didn't know any of this. I'm glad I asked the question. Very good. Did you play high school and little league and all that kind of stuff? Did you work your way up? And was soccer in your life? What was going on?
Well, I played 1 year little league in Nicaragua. When I came over to the United States, I was 12 years old. I never got a chance to play little league baseball here in the United States. I went to junior high school, and I played softball, because they didn't have baseball, so you played softball. And it almost like, I always had the desire to play, but wasn't sure where to go, who to talk to, or anything like that. And my parents are too busy working. So suddenly I start doing PE, and it was a softball class in PE. And the first time I went up, I whacked the ball, and everybody was like, whoa, what's going on here? So then later on, I find out that there was a little softball team that the junior high school had, and they would go around playing against other junior high schools. So you can almost say that's how I started making a name for myself. By the time I got to high school, the high school baseball coach came up to me and asked me if I was going to try out. I had no idea when the tryout was. So I said, yeah. And I said, when is it? And so he said, it's such and such date. So I showed up, and at the time I was just hoping to make a team, the freshman team, or, and next thing you know, I'm on the varsity team. I didn't play much, and then that was about midway through the season. He came up to me and said he was going to send me back down to JV so I could play more. Yeah. And at the time, I didn't really care. I just wanted to play. Yeah. Went down there, and I had a blast. It was, I was doing things that I had no idea what they were. I could honestly tell you. People say, well, how'd you do today? I said, we won. and said, "How'd you do? We won." They said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, we won the game. We scored more runs than them." At that same time, I discovered this game they call football. American football, because we know it as soccer. So I started doing the football thing because it was more fun. It was rougher, and So later on, I found out what the word 2 for 3 meant, because I had no idea. I just, I said, "So how'd you do?" I said, "Well, I got a couple hits." Getting RBIs? What are those? I'll tell you. So my senior year, I pretty much only played a year and a half of varsity baseball in high school, because my sophomore year I came up, and then there was another senior in front of me, and the coach told me he was going to play because he was, senior, and I was a sophomore. And I flat out asked him, I said, "Am I better than him?" And he said, "Yeah, but you got 2 more years." And so then I just told him, I said, "Why should I pay for that?" And I quit. I didn't play. My junior year, came back, and I broke my collarbone. We ended up winning the city championship anyways, and then my senior year, I came back, and I played the whole full season. A scout came up to me from the White Sox and asked me if I would get drafted, would I sign? And I said, "No, we left the country because of the military." That's the only draft I knew. Yeah, I said, "We left the country because of the military, and my mom's not going to let me sign, go to the military." They both started laughing, and I said, no, not that kind of draft. We're talking about baseball draft. And I looked at him, I said, "No, my mom's not going to let me anyway." So I just walked away. And I went, and then it was, I quit baseball, and I went to go, they drafted me anyways. I quit baseball, went to junior college, go play football, because in Southern California, yeah, junior college football is big. So I started doing that, and then I sprained my ankle and started realizing how much bigger everybody was than I was. And I just made a decision to go do this baseball thing a chance, And so I started playing, and the same thing happened. I mean, I just was trying to make one team, and next thing you know, I made another one and another one. And out of junior college, I got drafted by the Phillies, didn't sign, went up to Lewis and Clark State in Lewis and Idaho. And then that's where the Giants drafted me and signed with them. And next thing you know, I was in the big leagues.
Boy, what a story. I didn't know this whole background. What a great story from Marvin Bernard. It's kind of a story of America in a way, of, coming to America, 12 years old, and getting into the life of America and the sports of America, and look at the career you made out of it. It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, when you're going through things, you don't really think about it. You just focus on, trying to do what you got to do. My goal is always to be the best baseball player at whatever level I was. I never thought about, okay, I want to get to the big leagues X amount of time. I want to do this. I want to do that. My goals every year was, stay healthy, and do the best job I could to help the team win. And then later on, people started telling me about things that I'd done. Do you realize? And I was like, "What do you mean?" They said, "Well, first of all, you're the 50th round pick. When you're a 50th round pick, you're not supposed to go anywhere. You're supposed to maybe play one half a season and then get released, and then you go home. The average stay for a minor league guy, it's 6 years. I signed in 92. By 95, I was in the big leagues. And again, it was just, for me, it was just one day at a time, one step at a time, just try to do the best I could at that time. And I never paid attention. I can honestly tell you, never paid attention about who was in front of me or who was at this next level. I was just happy, being there, playing, and enjoying my teammates.
Boy, and when did you see your first big league game?
We were in, I had gone to a couple Dodger games down in L.A. as a kid. But, you went because it's a baseball game, and you didn't pay attention to it. It's just an event. In 1993, we were in Clinton, Iowa, and we had a day off. And it just so happened that the Giants came into town to play the Cubs. And we had a day off. So we went to Wrigley Field, and that was the first big league game I paid attention to. That was the first big league game I actually went to, and I was in awe, first of all, with Wrigley Field, and then the fact that the Giants were playing in the big leagues, and then we got to go in the clubhouse. That's when it was like, whoa, this is cool. So it was just again, I never paid attention to things, and things just kept happening.
Boy, it's amazing. 9 years in the major leagues. 9 years in the major leagues for Marvin Bernard. Boy, and the first at bat, the first game that you played?
Greg Harris at Candlestick. And I remember Deion Sanders telling me how he's going to throw to me. You know, I mean, you know, we were talking about, you know, guys that you played with and stuff like that. And, you know, the fact that I played with Deion Sanders makes me go, whoa, that's kind of a trip, you know. Greg Harris, I faced him. The first two pitches threw me with a curveball. And then he threw me a fastball up and away. Then he came back with a fastball inside. And, you know, I hit a ground ball to second base. I don't remember running, but I do remember hitting the first base bag. I guess, you know, you're so in awe that you just feel like you're just floating, you know, going down the line.
Boy, what a great story. So what high school did you go to? And what position did you play in football?
I was a tailback in football. So I grew up down in Southeast L.A., Bell High School. And, you know, down there, you know, played right field because nobody else wanted to do it. So, you know, that's what I did.
And what did your parents do?
My mom was a nurse in Nicaragua, but when she comes over here, things doesn't transfer the same. So she went back and got a little certificate, and she worked at the like a retirement home.
Yes.
And then my dad was a surveyor in Nicaragua. Same thing, nothing transfers when you come over here unless you want to go back to school. And he ran into a guy that was starting a metal company, and they were doing small parts for airplanes. And he started working with them, worked his way up, and then he became the manager of the shipping and receiving department. And now they're both retired, so they go back and forth to Nicaragua and L.A.
What a story. When you look back, 12 years old, seriously, getting off the plane, 12 years old, and now you sit here today. Did you have any idea, any thought of what life could look like?
None. I had no idea. I mean, when you're at that age, you don't realize what's going on. You know, people come in to tell you that, you know, you're going to have to go do military service, you know, because you're 12 years old. You don't see the implications. You don't see the whole big picture. You know, you're just mad at your parents because they're taking you somewhere you've never been. You don't know where you're going, and your friends are getting left behind. That's all you focus about. Your long-term goals back then is like tomorrow. You know, what are you going to do tomorrow? Those are long-term goals.
What's for dinner?
Exactly. You know, I can't believe you're going to, you know, punish me for 2 days. You know how long that is? You know, so you don't pay attention to all that stuff until, you know, later on you become a parent and you sit back and you go, man, you know, I'm so grateful to my parents for everything that they've done, you know, to give up everything they had, to sacrifice, to go, you know, leave a comfortable life to come start from scratch. So it's just amazing. And, you know, people don't understand that people don't leave their country because they want to. When they leave their country, when they make that decision to leave everything behind, it's usually because of a lot of negativity that's going on in their own country. And they're looking, like all of us, we just want the best for our kids. We just want to survive. We just want to be able to put food on our table. And we just want to be good neighbors and be happy. That's it.
Boy, great story. Have you told this story before, like in this depth? This is pretty good.
No. I've had some people. I've had people tell me that I should write a book. You know, and it makes me. I'm waiting for John Grisham to. I'm waiting for me to run into John Grisham. Those are the only right. He's the only books guy that I.
Lawyer.
Yeah. No. I think he's written about 26 books. I think I've read about 24 of them.
Yeah. He wrote a baseball book.
I know he did. Yeah. You know, he's only got one nonfiction book that he did, and it was about the baseball player, the guy that pitched for the Yankees. Yeah. So one of the funniest books I've read was his. It's called Playing for Pizza.
Okay.
He was about a football player guy that goes to Italy to go play. And that was one of the funniest books I've ever read. And then also Bleachers was pretty good, too, for, you know, I would recommend that for any teenage kid that's in high school.
Yeah.
You know, give him that. I thought that was awesome.
Great having you on. We got more to talk about. We haven't even touched on your career yet, but 9 years in the big leagues. Well, a pleasure having you on. It's a great baseball story and a story of America, perseverance, and what the world is really like.
This is an amazing country. You know, it's an amazing country, and, you know, people come here because of opportunities, and it's true. You know, I mean, I think think it's, you know, and I don't want to sound political, but I think it's sad that some people, I think it becomes a part of, you know, we become jealous because we see somebody that comes from a different country and they come and they, you know, they're successful, you know, and instead of you saying, you know what, wait a minute, man, if this guy can do it, you know, and he's coming from a, you know, third world country, why can't I, you know, and again, sometimes when people are going to come from third world country that were, they just have something that you have. Yeah. You can't hate them for that. I mean, that's their blessings, you know.
And that's the way the country was built. I always say that's the way America was built, from people coming from all over.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, when you think about it, if you take, let's use the analogy of food, right? Let's say you just take a potato, just a plain old potato, and that's all you eat every day. It gets old after a while. But now, if you take the potato and you put a little bit of pepper on it, you know, a little bit of you know, chives on it, and you know, so you put a little bit of sour cream on it. Now, better taste, right? There you go.
Very good, Marvin. A pleasure having you on. You're going to have a good career in broadcasting. You should tell some of these stories on the air. It's really pretty good. I appreciate having you on. Very nice.
Thanks, Marty. I appreciate it.
Very good.
Very good. I enjoyed that. More coming up. KMBR 680, the sports leader.